making your way into the sanctuary. We welcome all of you to Eagles Way Church, and happy Mother's Day. And for everyone that is watching us on social media, we welcome you and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. You know, I was thinking about when they asked me to have the welcome today. I said, Lord, what in the world do you want me to share? And I felt like I immediately got the word that he wanted me to share. And in Luke chapter 2, is the story of the birth of Jesus. And the shepherds seeing the angels and said that he was going to be the Savior and all that. And then they went to Bethlehem and they saw Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And she listened to all that they said. And she kept them and pondered them in her heart. And you know, I think we as mothers, we do that. We about our children, we keep what's said and what's done, and we ponder it in our heart. And there's a deeper meaning in that word ponder. It meant to communicate with the shepherds and to listen to what they said. Of course, we already knew that the angel had told her that she would be the mother of the Christ. But anyway, she pondered those things in her heart, and I think that's what we as mothers do. But the deeper meaning says to be united, to be in union. And so I think that once you have a child, or even we as women, we ponder in our hearts those that we love. There's a connection there. There's a love there. And I want us to think about that today, being Mother's Day, that we have a father that has a feminine side and that he ponders us in his heart, and that we are united into him. And so let's just praise and worship him today. And we welcome you here today.
As you guys are standing, I want to introduce this song that we are about to sing this morning. Is a very, very strong proclamation of when you decide to step into alignment of who you are in Christ, of Christ's power in you, not becoming aware of what I can do and what my strength is, but stepping into alignment of Christ's strength in you. Whether you have chronic pain, some of us battle oppression of the mind. Whether you're on top of the world right now, invite Jesus in this morning and step into that alignment. And whatever it is in your world, the enemy is afraid of your voice. But when we sing this song and we decide to stand tall, go ahead and stand up a little taller where you're standing right now. Stand up a little straighter. And believe in what we are singing, because the enemy does not know what is about to hit him. You have no idea what's about to be uncovered in your heart. The visions that you do have in your mind that you're just not sure you have dreams anymore, God's going to uncover something for you today. So let's step into this flow of Christ's presence. Let's stand tall and let's believe in the Christ within us. Yeah, let's do it.
Faithfulness will never let
Just one touch from your robe steals the weakness from my bones. Come into our hearts, Jesus. Come and reach into our hearts. Come and heal every part we sang a couple of weeks ago about I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. Do you know what happens when you believe that? And when you mean that, and when you sit in his presence and you say, I want more of you, Jesus, I want more of you, Jesus. Pain is healed. Anxiety is healed. Depression has to leave. Generational chains are broken so that your children's children's children do not have to live in the same chaos that we have walked through, that your mama walked through, that your daddy walked through. Because God has gone before. And when we claim our power in Christ, all of those things come crashing down. Nothing can stop his goodness. Nothing, nothing, nothing can stop his goodness. There's nothing that can stop your goodness. Miren says he sees a revelation coming. I have tasted that revelation in my life. I want nothing more than for you to taste that revelation this morning. Sing, there's nothing that is going to stop your goodness in my life. There's nothing that can stop your goodness. Tell him that you surrender. I'm surrendered. Come in, Jesus. There's nothing that can stop your goodness. There's nothing that can stop your goodness. There's nothing. lifting those voices.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Yesterday, I was really thinking about my big mama and was reminded that of that line, I come alive in the strength of heaven, and that Hebrews tells us that there is a cloud of witnesses that is urging us and encouraging us on, that allows us to strip every weight that entangles us, to strip so we can run the race before us with endurance. That's what the Word of God says. And not only, you know, I know sometimes Mother's Day is a really tough day when you, maybe your first Mother's Day without your mom or someone that you love. The strength of heaven is that cloud of witnesses. Not only is the strength of heaven that cloud of witnesses, the strength of heaven is in this room, because heaven is here. And that cloud of witnesses is here. And you are not alone. And we get to strip off everything. The oppression, the fear, whatever it is, we get to strip it off when we can step into His strength that is magnified in you and magnified in those who have gone before you who are right here. Come alive in that strength this morning. Step into it as Lauren just keeps urging us to do, to step into it, because heaven is now, heaven is here. His goodness, nothing can stop His goodness. Nothing can stop His goodness. Nothing can stop His goodness. Come alive in that strength. Come alive in that strength.
Make a
For the goodness that you are pouring out by the bucket loads in this moment. Thank you for the healing that is in this room in this moment. Thank you for revival that is stirring in this moment. And we step into it. We step into that strength, Father, and we receive it. We receive it. We thank you, Father, that we are strong, that we are bold, that we are fearless, and that we are filled with your presence, we are filled with your spirit, we are surrounded by it. It goes before us, it's behind us, it's beside us, it's within us. It's on the phone when we're talking to a friend, it's at the table when we're sharing a meal and breaking bread. It's in the moment when I tuck my son into bed and I pray for him. It's in the moment that it's hard and you got to trust and you got to step out in faith. It's there. It's in the moment where we don't see in the visible what we see in the spiritual, but we know it's coming. It's there. It's there. And we come alive in it, Father. We come alive in that strength of knowing that the best is always to come and the best is right now when we step into it and we enter it. Trust you, and we love you, and we love you, and we love you, and we love your people, we love your creation. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Amen.
You know, when we sing that song, "May God Be Everywhere We Go," what we're saying is, may I be aware that God is everywhere I go. It's not like we're praying, may God be everywhere we go. May I be aware that everywhere I go and everything I see, God is there. It's an awareness that we have to be. Well, happy Mother's Day. That was weak. Happy Mother's Day. You know, I'd like to open this up with sharing a little bit about mothers, but women in general. How many know if you're not a biological mother, you're still a mother? You give birth to things all the time. I think that women are the most intuitive, the most prayerful, the most loving, the most kind, the most powerful, the strongest people on the planet. They really are. We think we are. We know we're not. When the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel compared to the man, it only means in physical strength. And sometimes that's not even true. I wouldn't want to tangle with my wife, even physically. But spiritually, they are so. In all the years, I never have a man to come up to me and say, "Pastor, I'm praying for you." Always a woman. A woman always comes. There's a few, Ron. You're a different kind of man. Sorry, I offended you. All right. It's always a woman that comes up and says, "I'm praying for you. I'm here today because of my mother." I have no doubt in my mind. I'm here today because she prayed for me fervently. She never, ever, ever gave up on me. And I thank God for that every single day. My father sent me a man years ago he wanted me to minister to. He said he really needs Jesus. How many know everybody needs Jesus? But this guy really needed him. He was a crusty old soul. And I was talking to him and trying to break through that hard shell, and I was getting nowhere. And finally, I just looked at him and I said, "You know, your mother's been praying for you a long, long time." He just broke down and started sobbing. And you may ask me, "Bjorn, how did you know his mother been praying for him a long, long time?" I just took a shot in the dark. I knew I had about a 98% chance of being right. I wasn't prophetic. I was just guessing. But because of that, he broke and accepted Jesus. Not of anything else I could say, but other than your mother has been praying for you a long, long time. Aren't you glad for mothers? I always on Father's Day sometimes give you some sayings that Daddy says, you know. I'm going to give you a few sayings. You've heard a couple of these. Dusty has said them before. I'm going to give you one you never heard that mother says. Mother used to say, "Stop yelling at your kids. You're only going to make them mad." That was one of her favorites. "Stop yelling at your kids. You're only going to make them mad." I tell Dusty that all the time. "Stop. You're just going to make them mad. You're just going to make them." How many know if you get yelled at, you get mad? That's some pretty good cornbread theology, isn't it? Stop yelling at your kids. The other one is young people think they got to talk everything out. Stop talking everything out. You're just not even going to get mad talking everything out. But here's one you never heard. "Bjorn, I can't believe you said that from the pulpit. Don't ever say that again." And I am much more aware of that today than I was when she was with us, because I think she's got a lot more pull right now. So I try to be real careful that I don't upset Big Mama in heaven. I would really not want to upset her, because I know she's hearing everything that's going on. Years ago, I said, "Barbara, I'm going to buy some land." I've told you this story, but I got a rhyme and reason behind it. "I'm going to invest in this land. This is a sure deal." "Sure deal. Going to make a lot of money." Took all of our life savings, every penny of our life savings of almost 40 years, against her intuitiveness that said, "Bjorn, don't do it." I said, "It's a sure deal." Lost everything we had in savings. Almost lost our home in a lawsuit. That close to losing not just our life savings, losing everything, because I didn't listen to the intuitiveness of a woman. That there's something inside them that's much more intuitive than we have. me tell you something, ladies. When Jesus died on the cross, there is no greater liberation of mankind that ever took place than the liberation of women when Jesus died. Nothing. Nobody of any race, nobody of any gender was liberated more than the women were when Jesus died on the cross. We'll show you that in Scripture as we get further into it. The strength and backbone of this church is not me. It's my wife. You may not see her up here, but you see her in here. And there's nobody who loves this church, nobody who prays for this church, nobody who's in tune with what's happening in this church more than she is. So never underestimate the strength of a woman. They're powerful. They're powerful. And God uses them in an awesome, mighty, powerful way. The church overall of the Lord Jesus Christ has only in the last 20 years been coming more and more into an understanding and reality of how important women are. I first started pastoring. We had probably about 30, 45 people, and 98% of them were women. Very few men. Went for years with probably 3/4 of the congregation were women. Thank God that's not the way it is now. But because of them, we have what we have here today. Because of their prayers and because of their commitment, we have husbands and wives today that are together in the house of the Lord. Because women have something special. Something very special to give. It took me a long time to realize that. Took me a long time to realize that. I could have been a male chauvinist. I really could have been. Yeah. I know some of you say, well, you were. No, I wasn't really. I may appear to be, but I wasn't. Women are powerful. And I just want to honor you today and let you know how powerful you are. And never underestimate who you are. Before I even get into it, I want to share a story. And it's going to be an up and down roller coaster, because when I say that, it's going to appear to be negative, then it's going to get positive, appear to be negative, going to get positive. It's kind of a roller coaster story, but it's a story about Eve. But I want to say from the onset that something I saw in this story I never saw before. Eve did not partake of the tree because of rebellion or because she was intentionally wanting to do something wrong. She partook because she was deceived into thinking that life would be better. It was for her family. She was looking at it as something that would better her and therefore better society, therefore better everything around her. How many know women, mothers want the best for their family more than anybody else? They really do. They're the ones who say, can we get this fixed? Can we do this over here? They always want things better for her family. And that's all Eve was trying to do. And I want to tell you something. Every single one of us have fallen to this trick many, many times. All of us, all of mankind, the trick has never changed, Joy. Never changed. The tactics of evil have never, ever changed. This thing has worked for thousands of years. And our arch enemy, the spirit of Antichrist, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, the spirit of evil, hasn't changed his tactics one bit. They're still the same. He attacks from the outside in. He comes to deceive us. As a matter of fact, he's called the great deceiver. And so in Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, the Lord God made all sorts of trees to grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him. Now, I want you to see something here. Eve's not here yet. So before you go blaming anything on Eve, remember who was given the instructions from God, the man was, to guard the garden. So whose fault was it? Okay. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you're sure to die. I want to talk about a tree for a moment and set this up because the tree is important. I love what is on our chalkboard in the breakfast area, coffee area. There's a tree, and on that tree is all kinds of fruit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit's mentioned on that tree. How many know there's a good tree and there's a bad tree? We're eating every single day from one tree or the other. We're either eating from the tree of life or we're eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God placed man in the garden and he says, I'm going to give you one rule to live by. Aren't you glad God didn't complicate life? How many know today that God's got one rule to live by? Still. He never changed it. Or you think, oh man, this Bible's so, it's full of so much instructions and things to do and not to do. No, not really. It comes down to just one rule. Love. Love God and love your neighbor. If you do that, you won't do wrong. Hello. If you love God and love your neighbor, you won't do anything that's going to hurt anybody. Because love is the fulfillment of every instruction that's ever been. You know why I behave myself with Barbara? I love her. And when I'm not loving her, I don't behave very well. Love is what causes us to do what we do. Right? And love is what it's all about. And so it's all about this tree. The Bible says in Acts 5:30 that Jesus died on a tree. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus died on a tree. Not a cross, but a tree. The first tree God planted in the Garden of Eden. The second tree man planted. Man planted a tree in the ground and hung Jesus on the tree. Now, why that's important, because the first tree planted by God, the second tree planted by man, the first tree you're told not to eat of, the second tree you're pleaded with to eat from. The first tree, Satan said, eat it. The second tree, he says, don't eat it. He's always deceiving and trying to get us in these subtle devices. The first tree, if you eat it, is sin and death. The second tree, if you eat it, is life and righteousness. The first tree, if you eat it, you're turned out of paradise. The second tree, a thief on the cross entered into paradise. Isn't that wonderful? It's all about this tree. The first tree brought a curse. The second tree removed every curse. Hallelujah. Genesis 3 may be the most important chapter in the Bible because it explains man's battle, the constant battle we have day in and day out. The record of the fall is the only possible explanation of the evil that is in the world. The only possible explanation. You see, how many has ever asked the question, why? Why? This is why. This is why. Eve's act was not out of rebellion, but out of what she thought would make her life better. Satan's biggest and most effective ploy is something better is being withheld from us. His biggest ploy is something better is being held from us. Here's what they had. They had a relationship with the Heavenly Father that was beyond anything that's ever been. In the cool of the evening, God Himself, how and what He looked like, how they knew it, we don't know. But in the cool of the evening, God Himself walked among them and talked with them. They had this loving relationship. She had a husband who adored her. How many know you have a husband, Christ, who adores you? They had a perfect environment. Perfect environment. Man's, the fall didn't come from the bottom. It came from the top. That's why he says, beware lest you fall. You think you may be at the top. That doesn't mean you can't fall. It wasn't a bad environment they had. They didn't have anybody to compare anything with. Now, ladies, how would you like that? You're the most beautiful woman in the world. Man, you was the most beautiful man in the world. No competition, nothing to compare anything with. You say, you know why that's important? Because we spend a lifetime, we're not careful in comparing everything in our life with everybody else. Everybody else. I went to, carried my truck to the Doug's Tire months ago to have new tires put on it, a new head gasket put on it, and because I was going to sell it. Because I'd seen these big, pretty trucks. And I wanted a big, pretty truck. So I was going to sell it. And so I went to pick it up, and Doug's wife said, I can't believe you're going to sell that truck. God is my witness. I'm pulling out of Doug's Tire, and I remember Barbara saying, I can't believe you're going to buy that land. And I thought, I can't believe I'm going to sell this truck. Hey, this is a nice truck. I'm going to keep this truck. And I've been so happy that I'm not in debt with a truck because I listened to a woman who said, I can't believe you're going to sell that truck. I tell you what, I'm getting wise in my old age. Thank God wisdom comes. You see, enemy never, there's, how many know that, well, we're going to read in a minute about the serpent, and this wasn't a big snake hanging out of a tree talking. How many know that Eve probably wouldn't have listened to a serpent talking? So he never comes that way. There's an old country song used to go like this, Mama, that devil you told me about is not what you said. He is a good-looking, beautiful woman in a short miniskirt. Now, if that was a man's country song, it'd say, Mama, that devil's not what you told me. Or a woman say, that devil's not what you told me. He's 6'2" with six-pack abs. Or he's 5'2" and he's fat, but he's cute as a button. What I'm getting to, he never comes ugly. Never comes up. It's always shiny. How many know that he's not red with two horns and a long perforated tail. He comes as an angel of light. Matter of fact, the serpent means the shining one. The shining one. And it's everywhere. How many know you can't watch? I mean, I think I'm over that truck thing. And we go on a golf outing. And I'm with some guys that are supposed to go to Howard's truck and put the golf clubs in the back of Howard's truck. And Howard's got this big white new truck. And there I am again at the tree. There I am once again, delivered before, but here I am again, lusting after that truck, thinking about my Nissan little truck, and I'm looking at this big truck. I mean, he never gives up. He never gives up. Then I go get in another big truck to come home in. I'm telling you, that tree follows you everywhere you go. Not only may God be everywhere you go, he is, but I want to tell you something else. He is everywhere you go to. That lurking, shining, bright thing is after you. He's not coming as an ugly being. He's coming as something gorgeous and beautiful. Gorgeous and beautiful. In Genesis 3, the serpent was the shrewdest. Say shrewdest. Of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat or even touch it, or you will die. You won't die. How many has that ever happened to? You get the temptation, the allurement comes, and it's not going to bother me. It's not going to hurt anybody. I'm not hurting anybody else. How many know you can't sin and not hurt somebody else? Well, what a Mother's Day message. Y'all enjoying this one? Good Mother's Day message, right? You won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful. I want to read this in another way. Can I do that? Mankind was convinced. Mankind was convinced that the tree was beautiful, its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her, so she took of the fruit of it, ate it, gave to her husband, and was with her. He ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open and suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover. I want you to see a simple truth today. Goodness always comes from within. Goodness always comes from within. God works from inside out. God works by transformation. The enemy works by conforming us. Enemy comes from the outside in. God comes from the inside out. The only way to get it to you is from the outside. It wasn't from the inside. Deep down inside, every single one of us know what is right and what is wrong. You know what to do and what not to do. You know where to go and where not to go. You know what to think and what not to think. You know. Why? Because inside you is God. And he works from the inside out. You see, he's the most crafty. This is what subtle means. He's crafty. He's difficult to understand and distinguish. He's highly skillful. Highly skillful. This is how, first thing he said, did God really say? Place the doubt. See, it starts up here, church. It's where he goes. He goes right up here. He places the doubt. Did God really say? Then there's adding to the word. Eve said, We can eat of any tree of the garden except that tree. We're not even to touch it. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat it. I mean, no, but the enemy always wants to make life more difficult. If you can learn a simple truth, the way of the transgressor is hard. His way is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The easy way is the God way. I mean, How many's ever heard people, "I just can't live it"? Anybody ever heard persons say, "I'm not a Christian, I just can't live it"? No, you can't. And God never asked you to. He only wants to live it through you. So, they forgot some things. They forgot what they already had. They forgot what they already had. It has never changed. The purpose of the enemy in the garden was not after Eve and not after Adam. He was after every human being that would ever be born on the face of the earth. Besides that, he was coming after every single relationship that would ever be formed. A husband and wife, a father and a father and a mother and their children, a children and a father and a mother. It was always pointed one place only at relationships. God comes down and says, "Where are you?" They were hiding. Man starts making excuses. How many know we all still do? Man starts making excuses. Woman said it was a serpent. Adam said it was a woman. Nobody would take blame for it, so God did. Aren't you glad he took the blame? He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took it for us. And so God comes down, slays an animal, clothes them, and then says some pretty harsh things. "Woman, you're going to, in childbirth, give pain. You're going to want to rule over your husband, but he's going to rule over you." How many women glad Jesus came? That was part of your curse. Childbirth, pain. Husband, pain. That was part of the curse. Jesus delivered that. I'm not a woman, I never had a child, but I thank God today that there's medicine and childbirth is not as painful as it would have been years ago. Is that true? I've never had one, but I'm assuming that y'all have. Right? I mean, glad that that curse has been removed, that a man rule over you. That's pretty good. Says to the man, "You're going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow." But he says something to the serpent that went way beyond any of that. And he looked at the serpent and he said, "The seed of the woman is going to crush your head. You may crush their heel. You may weaken them a little bit. You may cause them to walk with a limp sometimes. But I want to tell you something. The seed of the woman is going to crush your head." Not the seed of a man, the seed of a woman. There's a little chapel overseas somewhere. Billy Woodward saw it and told me about it years ago. And it's got seven depictions of history, seven of the most awesome events or tragic events that's ever took place. It's a little Catholic chapel. One her artist picture is Eve. And she's standing with the most distraught, painful look on her face of any human being ever. And the depiction is someone has just come and told her that her son, Cain, had just murdered her other son, Abel. What worse pain could a mother ever experience in her life that the two sons that you have given birth to. And listen, the promise had been to her that your seed would crush the serpent's head. So she's thinking, Cain and Abel is the seed. It's going to crush the serpent's head. I know some mothers here who've gone through some really tragic things. I don't think I know a mother here who's ever been that hurt. That to think one of your sons killed the other one. But with every disappointment, there's always an appointment with God. That we can always go to Him, because in the fifth chapter of Genesis, she gives birth again to Seth. And Seth was the appointed one. And through Seth came Jesus. And the seed of the woman crushed the serpent's head. With your great intuitiveness and with your great strength and with your great power that you possess comes huge responsibility. And with that comes, I hate to say it, but sometimes huge pain. Huge pain. Jesus even had to say to his mother, a sword will pierce your heart. A sword will pierce your heart. That she, Anna, she, I know you was tuned in to me. Thank you for listening. She had to stand at the foot of a tree and watch her son be crucified. What pain. But God has promised, with every disappointment, with every pain, there's an appointment with God. And God will get you through it. God and only God can come and make things right again. And from that time till now, that's what all God's been trying to do, is to get us to stop looking at that outside world of those things out here that is trying to lure us away, trying to convince us there's something better, we're missing out on something, when everything you'll ever need is inside you. Everything you'll ever need is inside you. Yesterday, I had a busy day. I had a funeral yesterday morning. Barbara went to that funeral. She had another funeral she went to that afternoon. I had a wedding that evening. John Henry went and played guitar at a funeral at First Baptist Church. And when I got to the wedding, I started thinking about Mother, and I started thinking about her prayers. And I thought about that day. Wow. I saw David Gamble get up and do such an awesome job at his brother's eulogy. And because of Mother praying me into the kingdom, David's in the kingdom. And David's sharing from his heart, and there's hope. Comes and he says, we're going to celebrate my brother. I thought, wow, wow. Barbara was on the way because a friend that she graduated school with, Mother, had passed away, and she's dying with cancer herself. And yet Barbara's in contact with her, and constantly loving on her and ministering to her and sending her texts and emails. John Henry came in the house, and I said, what are you doing here? He said, said, I'm going to First Baptist Church to play guitar for Adam to sing at a funeral. And I was just overwhelmed. I said, thank you, Mother. Thanks for not giving up on me. Thanks for not stop praying for me. Thank you. I go to a wedding, and I know the joy. Here's a young man and a young woman. She has a little boy. Her life's been devastated. Now God's restoring her life with someone else and with a daddy for that little boy. I said, God, you're so good. Even when things have gone awry, even when disappointment has come and has broken you down, even when sorrow has hit, in whatever way it may have come, there's hope, there's restoration. How many glad for restoration, renewal, repentance? How many glad God's into that? But God's into something else too. He's in the holding you together. He's into holding you together, because there's not anything the enemy would rather do than separate you. Nothing he'd rather do than destroy relationships. That's what he only does. Only does. One rule, one ploy. One rule, love God. One ploy, hate. Separate. That's all it is, church. It's real simple. I spent the next 30 minutes, probably 45 minutes, going to a wedding, thanking God all the way, thanking Mother more. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for praying me through. Thank you. Because I see a whole lot of stuff going on that sure is good. Sure is good. Thankful that a mother said to you, young man, get in church. Right? Came in here last Sunday. Because your mother's in Florida. Yeah. Mother tells him, week before you get back to Griffin and you find a church. Walked in here last Sunday, found a church. Because Mama said, Mama said, find a church. Mama said. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your intuitiveness. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. God is good. This is what I want to do today. I want to honor you. I want every woman in this building to come down and stand across this front. Young, old, middle age, married, not married, got a biological kid, don't have one, come and stand. I want to bless you today. We want to honor you today. Thank you, Facebook, for being here, but we're going to cut you off right now. Barbara, you come down and join us next Sunday at a cookout. And some of you Facebook people would love to have you come be with us. Amen. always been a woman. It's always been a woman in the gap. Always been a woman. Bless one that's not here today. Really want to bless Susan that has been a mother to this church, been a mother to my wife, and been such a prayer warrior for me. It's such an encouragement. Ain't a woman, ain't nobody encouraged me more than Susan Woodward. I wish I was what she thought I was. Oh, Lord, I wish I was half of what Susan Woodford thinks I am. I want you today to know how awesome you are. How awesome you are. That you give birth to generation after generation after generation. Your strength and your intuitiveness is what we need on an ongoing basis. That whisper, guidance that you give, that I want to be more listening to. Because my wife still comes up to me and says, lots of things. She lets me know when I'm right on. She lets me know when I'm not right on. You ought to be me sometime, and your wife walks up to you and says, you've lost your anointing. Well, you might as well take a hammer and hit me upside the head. Ooh. She'll say, you got to get your anointing back. Buddy, I'll tell you what, when she says that, I perk up. Because I could lose anything in this life. I can lose everything I got. If I don't lose that, I ain't lost anything. It's because of her that I'm here today. It's because of her that she keeps me on task. She keeps me grounded. Keeps me grounded. Keeps me focused. She doesn't, I know sometimes she doesn't think so. Sometimes she doesn't think I even listen. I know that. What she doesn't know, I do listen. I mean, you know, it's... Anytime you walk up to somebody and correct them, that nobody goes, thank you. I mean, I've never had anybody correct me and I go, well, thank you for pointing that out. Bless your heart. Thank you for seeing that wrong in me. I'm so appreciate that. Nobody responds to correct me like that. But what they do, start thinking about it. Maybe they're right. Right? Don't ever think your words fall short. Don't ever think he's not listening. He's listening. He's hearing. He may not act like it, but he is. And I bless every single one of you today for being who you are. And my prayer for you and for Eagles Way Church is that from this day on, we realize that every woman that walks through these doors has a good plan, a good attitude, and have good intentions for this place. And they want the best. They want the best. Men? See, men don't come up and say stuff like that to me. Men don't tell me the floor's sticky out there. I never had a man drinking coffee goes hit their feet like that and say, this floor's sticky. Never had a man. But a woman said that to me this morning, this floor's sticky. And what was she saying? I want this floor not sticky. That's all. I wouldn't say eat your donut and drink your coffee. Then I thought about this message and I couldn't say anything, but God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Gonna bring another son to the world to continue to crush the serpent's head. To continually take authority over the evil of this world. To come against the spirit of Antichrist that's anti anything good, anything lovely, anything pure, anything holy, anything great, always against that. We have a good God. Believe me, his goodness has come through women who has kept this world together. I'm not blowing smoke. You've kept this world together and you've kept it going. Thank you. You're going to hurt more than anybody else hurts. You will. You'll hurt more than anybody. But your reward will be greater than anybody's. But you will hurt. Nobody will hurt for their kids like mama will hurt for her kids. Nobody will pray for her children the way mama will pray for her children. Nobody. See yourself in a light you maybe you've never seen yourself from now on. Next, Will will be talking more about this in a moment, but next Sunday, I'm going to share 7 principles of life that God's given me over the years that I cherish. They're not obvious principles. They're not give and it shall be given unto you. That's a principle that's obvious. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. That's obvious. I'm going to give you 7 principles that I live by, that God's shown me. It's not obvious principles, but they are so powerful. Tell your friends. Invite your friends to be there. You're going to hear 7 principles of life that will make your life so much better. Tell every friend you got. Tell every kinfolk you got. Invite them, tell them to be there. They're going to hear 7 principles that will stabilize them and give them the best life they could ever possibly live. Now, that's a bold statement, but I'm going to do it. I got it. God gave it to me over the years. So if it came from him, it's good, right? Good stuff. Every now and then, you're going to get something from me ain't so good. You are. Every now and then, you're going to get a blur. Every now and then, this is good stuff over 40-something years of ministry. 7 principles that will change your life for good. Amen. Let's sit down. I'll give it to you now. I'm just kidding. God bless you.
I hope that you got your bulletin. Inside the bulletin is the flyer for Family Friend Day, which is next Sunday out at Mystic Acres Amphitheater. If it looks like the forecast is awesome, you're not going to want to miss it. Okay? Not like today. But if it were to be like today, we will still be out there because there is indoors that we can do that also. So we will be at Mystic Acres. If you forget, we're going to have somebody here with a map, remind you, oh yeah, we're out at Mystic Acres. We have a setup team, a serving team, and a cleanup team. So if you are interested in being on one of those teams, I would be more than happy to talk with you or get with Dr. Keith or Pastor Buren. One of us will get you connected on one of those teams. Setup team starts at 8. Cleanup team usually ends about 3. So depending on whether you're a morning person or an evening or afternoon person. Good stuff. And also in your bulletin was your connection card. Ushers, you can go ahead and begin receiving that offering. Drop that connection card either in the bucket as it's coming by or in the box in the back. That is the way that you communicate with us what's going on in your world. Prayer requests, praise reports, anything with that. That's how you sign up for some of these different events. So we appreciate you communicating with us and doing that with us. So how many have invited someone to Family Friend Day next week? Let me see. More hands went up this time. Wonderful. Wonderful. Awesome. Plan on that. It'll be great. God bless. Let's worship.
Steadfast, no compromise. I lift my sail.